Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday morning, October 11th, 2022 episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I am Wayne Floyd, your host. This is a podcast that is dedicated to the public reading of the Word of God, along with the reading of some prayers and a devotion each morning. The purpose of this is to be able to share with you part of my morning routine of getting into the Word of God before I start my work day, or even on Saturdays and Sundays. I decided I wanted to share this with you to help you and I both be more in the Word of God, spend more time in the Word of God and in prayer. It's definitely something that most of us struggle with. So I thought I would share this with you and maybe help, especially in cases like, I know my wife has some chronic conditions, and there are times when those chronic conditions bring on a fog. And as much as she loves to read, and especially to read the Word of God, there are times where she just can't. So my thought was, if I can do this and you can listen to the podcast and listen to the reading, at least you're exposing yourself that way. And honestly, as much as I read, which is obviously never enough, I think most people would say that as much as they do read in the scripture and as much as they do spend in prayer, it's never enough. There is always more we can do. But even with the reading I do, I also do some listening to scripture as well. That's one of my morning podcasts, is Squirrel Chatter. And Gene Clyde over there, the squirrel, actually does public reading of scripture. And I listen to that each morning as well. One, because I enjoy listening to Gene. But two, it's because it even more exposes me to the Word of God and keeps that in my head and in my heart and my soul, which is where it needs to be. We are called to focus more on the godly and less on the worldly, you know, more on the spiritual and less on the temporal. And that is what has helped me. The more time I spend in the Word, the more time I spend in prayer, the more, as I go through my every day, I find myself going to prayer more. I find myself responding in a more spiritual manner. And so if it's helping me, I'm offering it to you. It may not be the thing that helps you. That's totally possible. But I figured I would be remiss if I didn't share this with you. So our prayers that we read each morning are from the Valley of Vision. It is a collection of Puritan prayers. Our devotion is from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. He does a morning and evening devotion for each day of the calendar through a year. So we will do the appropriate morning devotion for that day. And then we will do a reading. We're using the Legacy Standard Bible. It is the most texturally accurate to the earliest manuscripts that we have. And the Bible reading plan we use, it was written by Martin Murray McShane for his congregation back in the 1900s, back in the mid-1900s, and that he wrote for his congregation to help them be more in the Word of God. So we do that each morning as well. And it picks from, and it works your way through specific places and takes you through them chapter by chapter. And in all actuality, that plan actually takes you through the New Testament twice and the Old Testament once in a year. So I thought that would be an appropriate one for us to read from. Let's see. Oh. In the show notes, there are links to everything I'm going to read where you can read along with me online. And in full confession, I read from online because the print's bigger and everything when I'm recording like this. But there will also be links in the show notes to the hard copies of these. And I would encourage you to have the hard copies of each of these, the Valley of Vision, Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and a Legacy Standard Bible. We don't know with everything crazy that's going on that makes you terrified to even turn on the news, no matter what station you watch, what channel you watch, what network you watch, that makes you not even want to hit the on button at times, to any kind of cable TV or whatever else to watch the news. Who knows whether we're going to have power? Who knows whether we're going to have the internet? Who knows whether you're going to be able to access it? So having a hard copy of it is critical. As much as I work in the technology industry, okay? I've been using computers since I was 8 years old. At the same time, my wife and I, through thrift stores and everything else, we have shelves full of books, critical books, not garbage, but critical books that we hang on to, because we never know what's going to happen. And we know we need that knowledge that is in those. And we need to be able to expose ourselves repeatedly to that knowledge. So I would encourage you to get those hard copies. All right, so let's get on with our reading, as has become our practice each day. We're going to read a couple of the Puritan prayers. We're going to read three total, but the first two are going to be our regular prayers that we read each morning. And then the third one will be the morning prayer for the particular day of the week. In this case, the third day morning prayer. So let's get started with resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious, the thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond, thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee, every sin calling for Christ's precious blood. Revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. Amen. All right, and grace in trials. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful, even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross, by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me, for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust in thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee, for Jesus' sake. Sorry. Amen. All right, and the third day morning prayer, it's God, creator and controller. And again, if you have the hard copies of these, there is an evening prayer for each day of the week as well. And so I would encourage you, both with Spurgeon's Morning and Evening and with the Valley of Vision, having the hard copy, that way you can follow up each day. So third day morning, God, creator and controller. Most High God, The universe with all its myriad creatures is thine, made by thy word, upheld by thy power, governed by thy will. But thou art also the Father of mercies, the God of all grace, the bestower of all comfort, the protector of the saved. Thou hast been mindful of us, hast visited us, preserved us, given us a goodly heritage, the Holy Scriptures, the joyful gospel, the Savior of souls. We come to thee in Jesus' name, make mention of his righteousness only, plead his obedience and sufferings, who magnified the law both in its precepts and penalty, and made it honorable. May we be justified by his blood, saved by his life, joined to his spirit. Let us take up his cross and follow him. May the agency of thy grace prepare us for thy dispensations. Make us willing that thou shouldst choose our inheritance and determine what we shall retain or lose, suffer or enjoy. If blessed with prosperity, may we be free from its snares and use, not abuse, its advantages. May we patiently and cheerfully submit to those afflictions which are necessary when we are tempted to wander. Hedge up our way, excite in us abhorrence of sin, wean us from the present evil world, assure us that we shall at last enter Emmanuel's land, where none is ever sick, and the sun will always shine. Amen. So like I said, if you've got the hard copy, and I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't have interrupted the reading of the prayers to say it, but if you have the hard copies of Valley of Vision and Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, there are corresponding evening prayers and evening devotions to correspond with each morning devotion for the day. And I would encourage you to stay in them. It continues to help you to stay in the Word of God, to stay in a spiritual mindset. And honestly, spending the end of the day time and reading the evening prayers, reading the evening devotionals, help settle me from the nutsery of the day and to rest and a trust in God. And what better sleeping pill can you take than that? Okay, so let me take a sip of coffee here. Sorry for the slurping there. All right, so we're doing the morning, October 11th article. Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and the scripture for it is Lamentations 3:41. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. The act of prayer teaches us our unworthiness, which is a very salutary lesson for such proud beings as we are. If God gave us favor without constraining us to pray for them, we should never know how poor we are. But a true prayer is an inventory of wants, a catalog of necessities, a revelation of hidden poverty. While it is an application to divine wealth, it is a confession of human emptiness. The most healthy state of a Christian is to be always empty in self and constantly depending upon the Lord for supplies, to be always poor in self and rich in Jesus, weak as water personally, but mighty through God to do great exploits, and hence the use of prayer, because while it adores God, it lays the creature where it should be, in the very dust. Prayer is in itself, apart from the answer which it brings, a great benefit to the Christian. As the runner gains strength for the race by daily exercise, so for the great race of life we acquire energy by the hallowed labor of prayer. Prayer plumes the wings of God's young eaglets, that they may learn to mount above the clouds. Prayer girds the loins of God's warriors and sends them forth to combat with their sinews braced and their muscles firm. An earnest pleader cometh out of his closet, even as the sun ariseth from the chambers of the east, rejoicing like a strong man to run his race. Prayer is that uplifted hand of Moses which routs the Amalekites more than the sword of Joshua. It is the arrow shot from the chamber of the prophet, foreboding defeat to the Syrians. Prayer girds human weakness with divine strength, turns human folly into heavenly wisdom, and gives to troubled mortals the peace of God. We know not what prayer cannot do. We thank thee, great God, for the mercy seat, a choice proof of thy marvelous loving kindness. Help us to use it aright throughout this day. Amen. All right, and our scripture reading for the day, we're going to be reading 1 Kings 14, Colossians 1, Ezekiel 44, Psalm 97, and Psalm 98. So let me take a quick swig of coffee before we get going with this. Okay, 1 Kings 14. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, became sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise now and disguise yourself, so that they will not know that you are the wife of Jeroboam, and go to Shiloh. Behold, Ahijah, the prophet, is there, who spoke concerning me that I would be king over this people. And take 10 loaves with you, some cakes, and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what will happen to the boy." Then Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose, and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. Now Ahijah could not see, for his eyes had set because of his old age. Now Yahweh had said to Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam is coming to inquire of you concerning her son, for he is sick. You shall say thus and thus to her, for it will be when she arrives that she will pretend to be another woman." Now it happened, as Ahijah heard the sound of her feet coming in the doorway, that he said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another woman? For I am sent to you with a harsh message. Go say to Jeroboam, 'Thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people and made you ruler over my people Israel, and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, yet you have been like my servant David, who kept my yet you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commandments and who walked after me with all his heart, to do only that which was right in my sight. You also have done more evil than all who were before you, and have gone and made for yourself other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I am bringing evil on the house of Jeroboam. I will cut off from Jeroboam every male person, both bond and free, in Israel, and I will make a clean sweep of the house of Jeroboam, as one sweeps away dung until it is all gone. Any woman belonging to Jeroboam who dies in the city, the dogs will eat. And he who dies in the field, the birds of the sky will eat. For Yahweh has spoken it. But you, arise, go to your house. When your feet enter the city, the child will die. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him. For he alone of Jeroboam's family will come to the grave. Because in him something good was found toward Yahweh, the God of Israel, in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, Yahweh will raise up for himself a king over Israel, who will cut off the house of Jeroboam this day and from now on. So Yahweh will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he will uproot Israel from this good land which he gave to their fathers, and will scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their Asherim, provoking Yahweh to anger. And he will give Israel over on account of the sins of Jeroboam, which he sinned and with which he made Israel to sin. Then Jeroboam's wife arose and went away and came to Tirzah. As she was entering the threshold of the house, the child died, and all Israel buried him and mourned for him, according to the word of Yahweh, which he spoke through his servant Ahijah the prophet. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he made war and how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. Now the time that Jeroboam reigned was 22 years. And he slept with his fathers, and Nadab his son became king in his place. Now Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, became king in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which Yahweh had chosen from all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. And Judah did what was evil in the sight of Yahweh, and they provoked him to jealousy more than all that their fathers had done with the sins which they sinned. They also built for themselves high places and sacred pillars and Asherim on every high hill and beneath every green tree. There were also male cult prostitutes in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which Yahweh dispossessed before the sons of Israel. Now it happened in the 5th year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, and he took the treasures of the house of Yahweh and the treasures of the king's house, and he took everything. He even took all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made shields of bronze in their place and committed them into the hand of the commanders of the guard who kept the doors of the king's house. Now it happened, as often as the king entered the house of Yahweh, that the guards would carry them and would bring them back into the guard's room. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Now there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. And Abijam, his son, became king in his place. And Colossians 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ and Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and multiplying, just as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, who also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the full knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and multiplying in the full knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, who rescued us from the authority of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and enemies in mind and in evil deed, but now he reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and I fill up what is lacking of Christ's afflictions in my flesh on behalf of his body, which is the church, of which I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God given to me for you, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose I also labor, striving according to his working, which he works in me in power. And Ezekiel 44. Then he brought me back by the way of the outer gate of the sanctuary, which faces the east, and it was shut. Yahweh said to me, This gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened, and no one shall enter by it. For Yahweh, the God of Israel, has entered by it. Therefore it shall be shut. As for the prince, he shall sit in it as prince to eat bread before Yahweh. He shall enter by way of the porch of the gate, and shall go out by the same way. Then he brought me by way of the north gate to the front of the house, and I looked, and behold, the glory of Yahweh filled the house of Yahweh, and I fell on my face. Then Yahweh said to me, Son of man, set your heart on, and see with your eyes, and hear with your ears, all that I say to you concerning all the statutes of the house of Yahweh, and concerning all its laws, and set your heart on the entrance of the house, with all exits of the sanctuary. And you shall say to the rebellious ones, to the house of Israel, Thus says Lord Yahweh, Enough of all your abominations, O house of Israel. When you brought in foreigners, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary to profane it, even my house, when you brought near my food, the fat and the blood, so they made my covenant void. This in addition to all your abominations. And you have not kept the responsibility of my holy things yourselves, but you have set foreigners as keepers of the responsibility given by me for my sanctuary. Thus says Lord Yahweh, No foreigner, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, of all the foreigners who are among the sons of Israel, shall enter my sanctuary. But the Levites who went far from me when Israel went astray, who went astray from me after their idols, shall bear the punishment for their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having oversight at the gates of the house, and ministering in the house. They shall slaughter the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them, because they ministered to them before their idols and became a stumbling block of iniquity to the house of Israel. Therefore I have sworn against them, declares Lord Yahweh, that they shall bear the punishment for their iniquity. And they shall not approach me to minister as a priest to me, nor approach any of my holy things to the things that are most holy, but they will bear their dishonor and their abominations which they have done. Yet I will appoint them as keepers of the responsibility for the house, of all its service, and of all that shall be done in it. But the Levitical priests, the sons of Zadok, who kept the responsibility of my sanctuary when the sons of Israel went astray from me, shall come near to me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to bring near to me the fat and the blood, declares Lord Yahweh. They shall enter my sanctuary. They shall come near to my table to minister to me and keep the responsibility given by me. And it will be that when they enter at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and wool shall not be on them while they are ministering in the gates of the inner court and in the house. Linen headdresses shall be on their heads, and linen undergarments shall be on their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything which makes them sweat. And when they go out into the outer court, into the outer court to the people, they shall put off their garments in which they have been ministering, and lay them in the holy chambers. Then they shall put on other garments, so that they will not transmit holiness to the people with their garments. Also they shall not shave their heads, yet they shall not let their locks grow long. They shall only trim the hair on their heads. Nor shall any of the priests drink wine when they enter the inner court. And they shall not take a widow or a divorced woman as a wife, but shall take virgins from the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow who is the widow of a priest. Moreover, they shall instruct my people about the difference between the holy and the profane, and make them know the difference between the unclean and the clean. And in a dispute they shall take their stand to judge. They shall judge it according to my judgments. They shall also keep my laws and my statutes and all my appointed times, and keep my Sabbaths holy. But they shall not go to a dead person to make themselves unclean. However, for father, for mother, for son, for daughter, for brother, or for a sister who has not had a husband, they may make themselves unclean. And after he is cleansed, 7 days shall be counted for him. And on the day that he goes into the sanctuary, into the inner court to minister in the sanctuary, he shall bring near his sin offering, declares Lord Yahweh. And it shall be with regard to an inheritance for him, for them, that I am their inheritance, and you shall give them no possession in Israel. I am their possession. They shall eat the grain offering, the sin offering, and the guilt offering, and every devoted thing in Israel shall be theirs, and the first of all the first fruits of every kind, and every contribution of every kind, from all your contributions shall be for the priest. You shall also give to the priest the first of your dough to cause a blessing to rest on your house. The priest shall not eat any bird or beast that has died of itself or has been torn to pieces. All right, Psalm 97. Yahweh reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries all around. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of Yahweh, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. Let all those be ashamed who serve graven images, who boast of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion heard this and was glad, and the daughters of Judah have rejoiced because of your judgments, O Yahweh. For you are Yahweh most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Hate evil, you who love Yahweh, who keeps the souls of his holy ones. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Be glad in Yahweh, you righteous ones, and give thanks for the remembrance of his holy name. All right, and finally, Psalm 98. Sing to Yahweh a new song, for he has done wondrous deeds. His right hand and his holy arm have worked out his salvation. Yahweh has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the eyes of the nations. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a loud shout to Yahweh, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to Yahweh with the lyre and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a loud shout before King Yahweh. Let the sea roar as well as its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy before Yahweh, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. All right, that's our reading for the day. I hope you're looking forward to having a good day. I hope you're productive in your work today. I hope I'm productive in my work today. Sorry, needed a little coffee there. Again, I would definitely encourage you, as much as this is great to spend this time together, and I definitely am grateful that I get to spend this time with you, I would definitely encourage you to spend more time each day in the Word of God beyond what we do here. I do, and I would encourage you to, and I'm trying to do even more than I do now. It's definitely necessary. And on top of that, we've got to spend more time in prayer. We all have to. I know I do, and most of the people I've talked to would tell you the same thing, that they feel they need to spend more time in prayer than they are. So I would definitely encourage you to please spend more time in prayer each day. I would definitely encourage you to continue to pray for those that have been impacted by hurricane storm, tropical storm Ian, as it barreled through. They are still digging their way out, still struggling through. I know of churches that while they are working hard to serve their community, at the same time, they have serious structural issues to deal with their buildings and stuff like that to try to get back to where they're meeting regularly. I mean, they've continued to meet, but all of a sudden they have no sanctuary. They have no, none of their school rooms, none of any of that. And like I was reminded this weekend, and I've always known this, the church is not the building. However, at the same time, the building does provide you an awful lot of resource to be able to accomplish the work God has set for you. So it can be very, very hard to deal with, for a church to all of a sudden be without that. So I would definitely encourage you to pray for all of those. And as I've said before, we want to pray not only for their physical well-being, but for their spiritual well-being. We want to pray that the saints, those believers that are throughout those areas, would stand up and show themselves to be the children of God and would be good, solid witnesses for God and for Jesus Christ, their Savior, throughout those areas. But we also want to pray for the unbelievers there, that all that happened would drive them to humbleness before Christ and drive them towards God to beg for help and beg for forgiveness, to put them on their knees and bring them to forgiveness. More often than not, that's what happens for most of us when we're brought to a saving faith in Christ, as we are in such trials and such terrible things going on and such rough things going on in our lives. And we know, we come to that true realization. The Holy Spirit brings us to that true realization that there is no strength in us, that our strength is in Christ, that we are abject, horrific, radical sinners. Radical meaning that sin inhabits every part of us, and that only in Christ can we be saved. So we need to pray that has gone on in those areas. And honestly, we need to, if you live in America, we got to pray for our nation. No election coming up is going to magically fix anything. A lot of people are going red wave. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to hide that. I hope that's true. I hope a conservative wave applies. But only Christ and his gospel will fix what's going on. What's going on in our country, we've been given over. If you haven't figured that out, we've been given over to judgment. God has removed his common grace. And again, I'm not some great prophet or some great theologian or anything else. But if you look through the scriptures and you see what's happening here in the United States, God has removed his hand from this country, from the United States. He has removed his hand. He has removed his common grace and allowing, ordaining even what is going on. Not that he causes evil, but he's being glorified in this. It is being shown that this is what happens when you turn from God. This is what happens when you turn to Baal, when you turn to any of those other gods, to the gods of your own making, to the gods of transgenderism, to the gods of homosexuality, to the gods of the Green New Deal, as ridiculous as that has become, to the gods of Hollywood, to the gods of politics. When you turn to all of that and turn away from the God of the universe, the God that created all of this and brought us into being, this is what happens. And so we got to be in prayer for this, that we see revival. Revival is the only thing that is going to in any way, shape, or form fix this. And I'm not running out there going, we've got to be a theocracy and we've got to take over. And it's not that. We have to be evangelists out there. We have to be out there making disciples. We have to be bringing the gospel to all the nations, and particularly to our own. I think it's great that all this mission work goes on throughout the known world, and that churches here in the United States put money forward to send missionaries out there to bring the word of God to places that have never even heard it before. That's wonderful. At the same time, there is mission work that needs to be done right here. There are way too many dark, dark, dark places right here in our own country. New York, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to bash what you see going on in Chicago, the spates, the rash of deaths every weekend. You can't tell me that's not of the devil. You can't tell me that darkness is not from a turning away from God. I'm not saying there aren't godly people in the middle of that, but they are in definitely the minority. What's going on out in California? I'm sorry, John MacArthur's letter to Gavin Newsom, Governor Gavin Newsom, was a wonderful letter. I mean, if you know me at all, I love John MacArthur. I think he's wonderful. He's not God. He's not Christ. But his letter was perfect. It showed true concern for Governor Newsom's soul with what Newsom has been doing, with him trying to use the scripture to support the slaughter of babies. To support the slaughter of babies. And I'm sorry, you can disagree with me all you want to, but it is fact, and it is scriptural fact, that it is a baby, it is a human life from the point of conception. There's no argument for that. You can make an argument all you want to, but all that is you trying to excuse your sin. Or if I were to say it, it'd be me trying to excuse my sin. But it is a baby from conception, and you are a murderer if you take that life. I would be a murderer if I took that life. And for Governor Newsom to try to use the scripture to support that, it is just repugnant and disgusting. But instead of showing hate and anger, even righteous anger, Dr. MacArthur both pointed out his sin, Governor Newsom's sin, and called him to repent in love. That is why he did it. And that was beautiful, but that is needed throughout our nation. There are so many out there that are striving constantly to excuse their sin. Our sin is without excuse. We deserve death. Every one of us, outside of the grace of God, outside of a saving faith in Jesus Christ, we deserve death. And our country, the United States, is proving it more and more each day that our country is deserving of death. We need revival. We don't need a red wave. Yes, we want one, obviously. We want to get to a point where there are policies in place that are more in line with what scripture says. Yes, absolutely. But that's not going to fix it, because that doesn't fix the heart of man. You can't legislate morality. You can't legislate a godly heart. We need revival, and we need to pray for that. All right. So let's go ahead and pray this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our time together this morning, for giving us this time to be able to share with each other, to be able to delve into the scripture and devotion in our prayers this morning. And Lord, we would pray, truly, we would pray that there would be a revival in our land, that Christians would stand up, would have a spine, they would stand up and they would take your word, your unadulterated word, the truth, throughout our land, throughout this world, but throughout our land, and would stand on it, and in so doing would be the instruments used by the Holy Spirit to bring our country, bring more and more of our countrymen to a saving faith in Christ. Because Lord, we do need a revival. And dear Lord, we would continue to pray for all those that were impacted by Ian as it barreled through Florida and then up the East Coast and through those places. Lord, we would pray for their physical well-being, but more importantly, for their spiritual well-being, that they would be brought, that those that aren't would be brought to a saving faith in Christ, and those that already have that saving faith would truly, truly, truly shine the light of your glory in those lands. In your name we pray, amen. All right, you go have yourself a wonderful day. Remember, do everything that you do today to the glory of God. Have a great one. God bless.